We have a new message series. It's 2026. We have a new message series we want to introduce you to, and it's called Practicing the Way of Jesus. Following Jesus, most of you know this already, following Jesus is not just believing in Jesus. The scripture says even the demons in hell believe in Jesus. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, there's more to that than just believing in Jesus. It's something called apprenticing Jesus. Again, this is not how one is saved. It's not about salvation. It's about sanctification. How does one follow Jesus? And it refers to a word, the word disciple refers to a word apprentice. Now, if you think about an auto mechanic, a young aspiring auto mechanic, there is only so much that can be accomplished by reading auto mechanic books. When I was growing up, I have some very vivid pictures of my father, and they have become core memories. One of them is my dad in his recliner with the newspaper open. You remember newspapers? Newspaper open and a show on that he's not watching, he's listening to, he's reading the newspaper. Another image I have is my dad sitting in that same chair with no newspaper, but he's got I believe it's a Chilton's auto repair book, which is about, I think it was this thick. And he would be in diagrams, and he's reading about repairing the car. But eventually, if you are an aspiring auto mechanic, you have to stop reading about repairing cars, and you have to start repairing cars. You have to get with someone who knows what they're doing in order to learn. Aren't you glad the brain surgeon and the heart surgeon that cut you open apprenticed for 10 years before they cut you open? Aren't you glad they didn't go, I signed up for this heart surgery because I just finished reading the book. It was so good. It was really interesting. And we're going to give it a whirl. This word apprentice is very, very specific, and it's a word that is synonymous in our culture with the word disciple. And let's learn it together. An apprentice is this. It's intentionally arranging your whole life around Jesus so that you can be with him, become like him, and do what he did. What's the key there? The key there is this: intentionally arranging your whole life. If you're an apprentice of a mechanic, you don't make an appearance once a month. If you're an apprentice in medicine, you're with the surgeon all the time. Your life is wrapped around the work of the master. And in our series called Practicing the Way, we're going to look at apprenticing Jesus. It's a 9-month journey. And it's designed to help us move from gathering more information to experiencing more transformation. We're going to move not toward gathering more information, but taking steps towards transformation. And we're going to do that by intentionally shaping our lives around the 9 practices of Jesus, to get ourselves close to Jesus, to be with him, to become like him, and to do what he did. And each month, we're going to focus on one core practice. These practices are grounded in Scripture. They're going to be embodied in our daily life, and they are practiced together in community, our church family, and later in small groups. Apprenticing is a way of life. It's not something you sign up for and you do on occasion. It's a way of life. It's not just a belief system that one gathers. And an apprentice learns their craft by living with the master, not just listening to their lectures. Apprenticing means that Jesus is in the middle. Your schedule is wrapped around Jesus. Your habits and relationships and your priorities are shaped by Jesus, around Jesus. And the entire time, you're learning from him. The objective in doing it this way, in apprenticing this way, is the formation of the heart. Because it is sin that you and I have experienced and live among that has deformed our hearts, and these practices are going to help us see and experience formation that kind of swims upstream against the natural deformation of our hearts. This is about internal transformation, allowing God to shape your desires, allowing God to shape your affections, allowing God to shape your character. And instead of simply trying to behave better or acquire more information, the goal is to let the Holy Spirit form your heart to love God and to love others more deeply, more sincerely, more passionately, more thoroughly. And this key idea is that there are practices that help us do that. One of the practices, like Sabbath or solitude or prayer, or there's six others, is a means of formation. Not just rules that you follow. They're not just habits that you develop. They're certainly not a means for salvation. They're a means of formation. And they reshape your inner life to ultimately help us mirror the life and work of Jesus. So, practicing the way will help us develop habits and disciplines. Habits and disciplines. And using these practices are going to be like using tools. They're not ends in themselves. They help bridge the gap between knowing about Jesus and actually knowing Jesus. And they bridge that gap to help us actually live the way that he lived, to love the way that he loved, to adore his Father in heaven the way that he adored him. Similarly, spiritual practices turn understanding Jesus into a living reality. So you don't just know more, that you actually live more richly. And the way that we integrate this into our daily life eventually becomes what's called a rule of life, the way we function, habits, disciplines. This component is about making all practices a part of a coherent lifestyle and a sustainable rhythm of life. Everybody has a rhythm of life. Most of us are aware to what our rhythms are. Some of us have even determined what those rhythms are. You have dictated to yourself what those rhythms are. The ones that are struggling the most, I think, with human life are the ones who have not determined or dictated their own rhythms. They have been determined to you, on you, and continue to carry that. So let's start with learning practice number one. Let's start by learning practice number one, Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This idea of Sabbath is not just a rule or a law that was given in the Old Testament by God and revealed in the Ten Commandments. This word Sabbath, this idea of Sabbath, is vital for us, if you're apprenticing Jesus, to understand it, to dissect it, to develop convictions around it. It's probably true that there's a problem that we all feel. We live in a culture that celebrates being busy. When someone says to you, "How are you? How you've been?" and you say back, "I'm so busy," you are probably talking to someone who is equally or more busy than you. Now, some of you have felt the jarring experience of having five children at home, and you're standing with somebody with no children, and you say, "How are you?" And they say, "Oh my goodness, I'm so busy. I mean, it is nonstop." And you're over here going, "I have zero sympathy. I don't care about you. There's no possible way. No possible way." But for the most part, the problem we all experience is this. We live in a culture that's hyperactive. Hyperactivity and busyness and is oftentimes worn as a badge It's almost like a medal that one wears to say, I am so busy, with the idea that being busy means important, significant, needed and wanted, productive. Yet, if you're a disciple of Jesus and you feel spiritually drained and emotionally thin and constantly rushed, there's a good chance you're not really following Jesus. Most of us by now have a smartphone and we have it on us all the time. How many of you have ever yelled at your parents or grandparents because they have a phone but it's not on them all the time? Raise your hand if you've ever said, why did you buy a phone? It's a mobile phone and it's supposed to be mobile with you where you go. Why have a mobile phone if I call it and it's in the bedroom upstairs, right? We have our phones on us. And we have become very, very accustomed to this, that the phone does not recharge itself. By itself, on its own, all it does is drain. And eventually, if it drains long enough, it's going to shut down. It might look fine on the outside. It might still receive notifications for a little bit of time. It might warn you, low battery, going to low power mode. But without taking the time to intentionally recharge it, we believe this, don't we? It dies. We believe it dies. Although I know some of you aren't great at charging your phones, you're still surprised every day when you're like, what? How'd my phone go dead? Then you bring out your backup phone and then your backup phone later on in the nighttime. In the same way, listen to this. In the same way, God has built recharging rest into human design. Built it in. I say this all the time. If I get a chance to be with any of you on Sunday afternoon after our service, sometimes you might hear me give you a warning. Hey, listen, if we're out and it's about 2:00, I want to warn you, I'm going to shut down. It's not personal. I have a hard wiring. I don't know how it happens, where it, why. I don't know what happened to me, but at about 2:00 on Sunday afternoon, I start short circuiting. And then, at some point or other, I discovered and decided, what if this is the way I was hardwired? What if my life is lived in such a way that everything is building up until Sunday, and right around Sunday, it just happens to be 2:00 for me because I can't. Some of you are like, I think you're short-circuiting earlier than 2:00. I've heard you. But somehow by then, my body is responding. And here's what I want to put out there to you. What if that's hardwired? What if that's design? What if that's all our quote-unquote batteries are built to handle? In the same way God built rest into human design, he didn't do it as a luxury, but as a necessity. How did he do that? He hardwired our bodies for this, a 24-hour time to stop. Now, let's back up, because I've already lost some of you. You see this? Do you know what the number 24 is? It's not 2. It's not 4. Raise your hand if I'm talking to you. It's not 2. It's not 4. The idea of Sabbath is this: 24-hour time to stop and rest. And then, that's not it. We're not just sleeping for 24 hours. But to delight and to worship in that 24 hours. Now, I wouldn't mind a 24-hour Sabbath as just sleep. That I could do. I could pull that off. But that's not what God designed. Not just rest, but delight and worship. God didn't design Sabbath as a burdensome rule that you and I have to manage and carry the weight of. Instead, God designed Sabbath not as a rule, but as a gift God-given gift that restores our soul and it draws us back into life with Jesus, our Master. Stop. What does that mean? Ceasing from ordinary work and production. Ordinary work and ordinary production. Rest. What does that mean? Allowing the body and the soul to recover. Some of you are very familiar with this. You know about resting your body, but while you're resting your body, there is no soul rest. All that the body rest does is give you a chance to obsess on the inside about what needs to be done and what isn't being done and who's going to do it and don't forget about this, that, or the other thing. Then to delight, enjoying God's good gifts without guilt. Because some of you have stopped and rested and then you get to your Sabbath day or you get a break, you get some time off, you get a little vacation time, but it's loaded. Because you're not productive and because you're inactive, it's not inner rest, it's riddled with guilt. I could be doing it. I should be doing it. Who's going to do it? It's not going to do itself. Someone's depending on me. How do I possibly accomplish this? And then lastly, worship. Recentering life around God Himself. Get this. Every week during a 24-hour period. I'm going to say something bold. I also said it twice. I believe, as I've been praying, prepping, I believe it's possible that a massive portion of our lives that are off balance, chaotic, maybe even hurtful, are related to this. You don't have any soul rest, ever. Ever. And you are trying to live your life, your challenging life, marriage, parenting, career, neighboring, I mean, all the things that you have to do, you're trying to do it with a dead battery. And what I'm asking you to consider this morning is the possibility that there's a practice that will help us re-engage to life, to abide in the vine, the river of life, that is flowing. And if you can find yourself into a rhythm where your roots go down into that river of life, you will lack no freshness. You will lack no life. You will lack no abundance. You will lack no fruit. You will be overflowing. Why? Because you are abiding in the vine. Your roots are in the vine, and the gardener is able to tend to those roots and bring fruit in your life. And the only reason you're not experiencing that is because you never stop. Ever. I want you to lean on somebody next to you and say, "He's talking to you. He's talking to you." Now, keep this in mind. Sabbath is not an escape from life. It's not an escape. It's an engagement with God. It's just not time off. It's also time in the presence of God. The core message on this Sabbath, the core message is this. It's a weekly act of trust that is restoring your humanity, that is resisting the tyranny of hurry, 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 and it's resisting it. Sabbath says, "I resist that." And it trains you to live from grace by being with Jesus rather than striving for Him, being with Him instead of striving for Him, and enjoying the grace of God. This practice is not about temporarily escaping life, but learning how to live awake to God, free in Jesus, and live in an unhurried life. Have I piqued your interest as to what this life could be like? During a conflict with religious leaders, you know, the religious leaders were always trying to trap Jesus, and they were trying to trap Jesus into endorsing the violation of the law. God gave a law. It's the law of Moses, and that's how you know God, and that's how you atone for your sins, and that's how you make yourself right before God through the law. And these Pharisees who kept the law and also judged people for breaking the law, they were in power. They were the mediators between God and man. You're either a rule breaker or a rule follower, and they determined. And they actually added a few extra rules just to make sure that... And they try to trap Jesus. They give him a situation, and what they want him to do is they want him to say in some way, shape, or form, I know you have the law, but ignore that. I'm giving you a new rule. And Jesus is healing on the Sabbath, and one time his disciples were walking through a wheat field, and they pulled the kind of the stalk of wheat off, and they ate it. And then they had this big confrontation where the religious leader said, Jesus, we know about this healing, and we also know about the way you're eating with your disciples. You're harvesting grain. You see what kind of people they are? They pulled grain off of this, and then he was accused of heart. You see what kind of people these are? Not harvesting grain, dumb. Pulling it off and eating it. Well, they're confronting him. And these Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus endorsing a violation of the law of Moses. Then they could charge him with blasphemy, which is what they wanted and suspected. And Jesus, of course, when he's confronted, he points out that this issue is not whether or not Sabbath matters and whether or not one should observe the Sabbath day, but what it's for. And what does Jesus actually say? Look what he says. The Sabbath, well, what they were saying was, you're violating the Sabbath. You're a rule breaker. You and your disciples should be condemned. And you're obviously endorsing this for other followers of God, the people of God. This is what Jesus says. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. And not... People were not made to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. In other words, this day called the Sabbath, this 24-hour period of time called the Sabbath, was not a burden to carry and to meticulously keep so that you could accomplish the law and follow the rules. Instead, something far more terrific has been created. I have created Sabbath to meet the needs of my people. Jesus says, Sabbath is something that God created, not something that humans invented. It's not a rule to be protected and to be charged when it's broken. It's created for the good of his people, to provide rest from labor and opportunity for worship. Let me throw this out there. It's possible that without a Sabbath day devoted to worshiping God, 7 days a week, we worship hard idols with no break and no conscience. Why? Because it becomes our rhythm. More money, more time, more things, more success, more achievement, more notoriety. The religious leaders treated Sabbath as a rule that they had to protect. In other words, it was a heavy burden to carry. What's Jesus doing here with this teaching? What is he actually saying? Here's what he's doing. Jesus reframed Sabbath as a gift to receive, not a rule to follow. And here's what I'm asking you to consider this morning, church family. Would you receive this gift from Jesus for you? This gift called Sabbath rest. Would you receive this gift? Not a rule to follow. You're not in a rules church. You're in a church who believes that the good news of the gospel is there is a rule keeper perfectly, and it's not me. It's my rescuing, perfect, in every single way, Savior Jesus. And his rule keeping perfectly is imputed to me, means it's awarded to me. And now I can receive gifts instead of worrying about breaking rules. The Sabbath doesn't exist to prove our obedience. It exists to restore our humanity. And you know when God rested on the seventh day? You remember that in the beginning, right? In the beginning, and God does 6 days of creation. And then it says, and God rested on the seventh day. Let's not be silly. God wasn't like, oh, That was a lot. I'm going to silence my phone and take a nap. Why in the world would the supreme creator of the universe with infinite power and might and authority. By the way, how about this? How about creating not with muscular effort, but with your words? Say it. It doesn't wear me out to say stuff. It doesn't wear out an infinitely powerful creator to say stuff. God wasn't needing a break. What was he doing? Is it possible he was demonstrating to that which he created that there is a time for a rest day and that there's 6 days of work and effort and then there's one last day called the seventh day for rest? That he's modeling that? That he's showing you this is the rhythm. Work, six, rest, one. Work and rest and develop that rhythm. And by the way, the Sabbath reminds us that we're creatures, not machines. And at its core, Sabbath is an act of trust. Trust, get this, it's trust that God, it's saying, God, I trust you that you can run the world without me for 24 hours. You can run my family without me for 24 hours. You can run my business without me for 24 hours. So what would an apprentice of Jesus learn from him about Sabbath? What would an apprentice of Jesus learn about him? Here's what he would learn. An apprentice with Jesus would learn 9 core convictions about Sabbath. I know it says 9. Don't worry about the time. We're going to skip through these pretty quick. But there's core convictions about Sabbath that one would learn if you were apprenticing Jesus. Here's 1. Sabbath is about formation, not information. You've heard of the phrase sabbatical. Some of you maybe know somebody who's taken a sabbatical. I know people who've taken a sabbatical. Here's the idea. You have a particular work, line of work, or career, and you're going to take a segment of time off, and you're going to go and get away, and you're going to rest, but you're also going to learn. You're going to take time to do a project that you've always wanted to do. Write that book, finish that project, enroll in school or whatever, but you're going to rest, and you're going to gather new information. The Sabbath is not that. The Sabbath is not a time to rest and gather more information. It's a time to rest and recognize and to focus on formation. That I am actually being formed in this deliberate time off. I'm not learning something new about becoming. I'm learning about becoming new. And what we repeatedly do you know this? What we repeatedly do shapes who we become. Sabbath retrains our nervous system. It retrains our desires. I've learned something so terrific by extending my regular intermittent fasting. Did you know that eventually, if you fast long enough, and eventually that which you craved goes away? Did you know that you can purge your cravings? The body is built to go without, and once it goes without, the certain cravings go away. Even hunger, even appetite diminishes. And this is what happens when we learn to fast and we spend time with God 24 hours of doing those 4 things that I mentioned before. What you're going to learn is sometimes the appetites that you had for other things begins to go away. It is reduced. And I learn to go and grow as a new person. Not just gathering new information. It retrains our desires to live in a slower, God-centered pace. Secondly, Sabbath is resistance to the culture of hurry. It says to the culture of hurry, I see you, I recognize you, I know most people are in that stream, I'm out. And hurry is not just a schedule problem, it's a spiritual problem. Hurry kills love. Hurry kills joy. Hurry kills connection. Hurry kills prayer. Hurry kills attentiveness to God. One of the author of our supplemental book called Practicing the Way, he said, hurry, he probably read this somewhere else, but he kind of summarized it this way, hurry is violence to the soul. That's strong language. Ever been with somebody who's always in a hurry? You can't keep up, you can't catch up? Anybody ever said thoughts like, this is the last time, I'm not doing this again, this person? Something unnatural about it. Now, it's possible that you could be doing good things while becoming the wrong kind of person. We could be hurrying into doing things and all the while becoming the wrong kind of person. But Sabbath slows us down enough to notice that. To notice God's presence. To notice other people. One of the things I love about the portrayal of Jesus in The Chosen is that they have portrayed a rescuing Savior who's not in a hurry, and it drives the disciples crazy. Where's Jesus? Well, he slipped away to a lonely place to pray. Oh my goodness, and they're looking at their wooden watches. What the? How long is he going to be gone? I mean, he is not in a hurry. And you know what happens? If you watch him close enough, it means this. He doesn't rush past people that have been rushed past. For years, people have rushed past that woman with the issue of blood. The cripple at the pool. But he's not in a hurry. And somehow, his inner life is at rest enough that he can notice other people. And for a lot of us, slowing down would help us notice our own hearts, because that's the reason why we're in a hurry anyway. We're trying to stay busy enough not to have to pay attention to what's going on in our hearts. Compensating. Next, Sabbath pushes back against Pharaoh's system. I just want to mention this. You remember, have you seen Prince of Egypt? Thank you for saying yes. Two of you have seen Prince of Egypt. Great film. The portrayal of the slaves building, slaving, working with bricks. It's Pharaoh's system, right? Pharaoh has a system of working nonstop, endlessly. And Israel eventually irritates the Pharaoh enough, Moses irritates the Pharaoh enough that the Pharaoh says, hey, you guys were working too hard in the past. I am doubling down on that. There's more work. Now the effort of making bricks is going to be even more difficult. Endless work, painful work, slavish work. The Pharaoh's system never allowed rest, only more bricks. But Sabbath is a declaration that says, I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer in Egypt. I do not belong to the Pharaoh. I'm going to push back against the Pharaoh's system of nonstop, endless work. And every Sabbath is a weekly reenactment of my freedom from bondage. I'm free from that. We're free for that. We rest not because everything is done, but we rest because God is faithful to do it, even while we're resting. Next, Sabbath exposes our need for control. Sabbath confronts the belief that drives me that everything depends on me. Now, some of you went into a big, long vacation this year, and you had the same thoughts. I'm going to take this vacation, and I'm going to leave behind an absolute disaster because nobody can competently keep this thing going without me. And then at the end of vacation, you realize, okay, maybe they can a little bit. Some of you have discovered, no, they actually can a lot. And for some of us, we've discovered they can actually do it better. And the Sabbath confronts the belief that it all depends on me. Now, rest threatens people who live by control. It's a threat. And I want to warn you about something. If stepping away from your life for 24 hours causes anxiety, that anxiety reveals a level of misplaced trust. So here's a question. If something is in the way of me deciding to observe a Sabbath on the regular, If something's in the way, I can't do it, I won't do it, I have never done it, I won't even consider doing it, what do I fear will break if I stop? What will break without me? And here's what I want to ask you to do. Point yourself towards handing that over to the Father in heaven, who is supremely capable of accomplishing all of it without you. Next, Sabbath is an act of faith, right? Sabbath is practicing trust before you feel it. I don't feel like I have the time for this, but I'm going to practice this. You rest first, trusting that God will provide later. It reminds me of Israel collecting manna, and God said, enough for today. Yeah, but shouldn't we stockpile? What if we run out? Wrong answer. Enough for today, and then trust me to provide tomorrow. Taking weekly Sabbath rest teaches us to live by faith. Faith in and for God's abundance, not living in a fear of scarcity and out of fear of scarcity, that there's not enough and there can't be enough. Number six, Sabbath is meant to be enjoyed. Sabbath should feel like joy, not restriction. Author, pastor, scholar, John Piper puts it this way, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Sabbath is meant to be enjoyed. Enjoying who? The time off? No, enjoying the Father in heaven. Enjoying the rest? Okay, maybe a little, but enjoying the Father in heaven. Enjoying a little downtime? Well, a little bit, but mostly enjoying the Father in heaven. And how? What are we doing when we do that? We're glorifying God. To the degree in which we are satisfied in God is the degree in which he is glorified in us. I don't need anything else. I don't need anyone else. He's enough. I delight in him. I enjoy him. And delighting in God reconnects our pleasure to him, to God. And it disconnects the pleasure that we need from what? From our consumption. I mentioned extending and kind of prayerfully thinking through this intermittent fasting and finding ways spiritually and physically for longer, or the benefits of it spiritually and physically for longer fasts. And one of the things I've discovered in longer fasts is this, that there's a period of time that I had locked and blocked in my schedule that was meal prep, meal enjoyment, and meal cleanup. And when I am not eating, I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do with myself? I find myself, I'm out in the kitchen, oh, I'm not eating. I'm not eating. What am I going to do with myself? What am I going to do with myself? I know I'm going to buy everything I've ever seen on Amazon. That's what I'm going to do. I got so much time. What is Amazon recommending today? In other words, this kind of Sabbath is a rest from consuming, and it connects my desires to God and not just more stuff and more consumption and more food and more everything else, even though I'm not talking about a 24-hour fast here. So that means that in 24 hours, when we're observing a Sabbath, we get to enjoy good music, good meals that go along with it, good friends, some laughter, maybe some tears. We enjoy nature and beauty and space. And if it doesn't feel like rest, it probably isn't Sabbath. If it doesn't feel like rest, it's probably not Sabbath. Number seven, Sabbath honors our God-given limits. To practice Sabbath is to accept that you're not an infinite being. Only God never rests. Machines are designed to run endlessly nonstop, but the body is not. If the body runs nonstop, what happens? It breaks down. It begins to break down. And Sabbath humbles us, and it frees us from being living like a machine. And our limits, by the way, are not flaws. They're instead a gift. Number eight, Sabbath is about being, not doing. Right? It's a weekly protest against this, that my value comes from my output. My value comes from my productivity. My value comes from achievement. My value comes from success. And when you recognize and you practice the Sabbath, here's what you're saying. Nah, my value is not an output. My value is in being with, not doing for. Massive, massive transition in formation. Modern discipleship emphasizes doing things for Jesus. Sabbath trains us to simply be with him, be with his people, be with the things he's provided. Over time, it forms patience in us, it forms peace in us, it forms trust in us. And Sabbath helps you reorder your identity, right? You go from a worker to the beloved of God, not a worker for God. You go from achiever to a child of God. And you help that identity take shape during this time. Because Sabbath is a day for being, not doing, for enjoying, not producing, and ultimately for presence, not performance. And last one, Sabbath requires intention. I don't need to add this. I don't need to mention this. We know that you've already probably thought about this, but this is going to require intentionality, specific planning. This is going to take time. But here's something else you probably noticed. Sabbath rest does not surprise you in your rhythm and show up one day and you're like, oh, look at all this rest I'm getting. Look at all this time to worship I'm getting and delight in God. It doesn't show up and surprise us. It has to be intentionally added to the rhythm of our life. Chaos happens. Have you ever been surprised by the chaos in your life one day? You're like, whoa, things are out of control. Holy chaotic. Wow, how did it get like this? How did this start? How did I get buried under all this? Right, that happens naturally. That happens without any intentionality. Deformation of our inner life happens naturally in our culture with worldliness and sin and, you know, all the things that are drawing us away from Jesus. So this kind of practice means this. I set aside a start time and an end time. This kind of practice means I prepare meals ahead of time. It means that I accomplish chores ahead of time. It means I turn off devices where and when it's possible. So, how does Jesus fulfill the Sabbath? Let's not miss this. Real quick, let's not miss this. Jesus does not abolish Sabbath. He fulfills it. This is the best news you're going to hear today. Later in the gospel, this is so good. Would you just very subtly just look and see if you can see someone that's dozed off and just squeeze their arm a little bit. Will you do that? Because I want you all to hear this. It's okay if you've dozed off. I'm not offended, but I do want you to hear this. This is more important than anything that we've said today, okay? You ready for this? Can I show you something that Jesus said about Sabbath? It's a game changer. And I'm so thrilled to tell you that Jesus didn't say, so I've got this calendar. And what I do is, the strategy I take is, and you could take this strategy too, and you could buy this calendar, and if you just kind of work the sundial this way, this is how you could see. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, come to me. Come to me. Not come to the law. Come to the rules. Come to the new rhythms. He didn't say that. Come to the nine practices. Didn't say that. Come to me. All of you who are weary and you carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. How do you know that you're abiding with Jesus? How do you know that you're apprenticing Jesus? Because the outcome of it is a sense of deepening rest. It's not a burdensome task and duty. There is a rest in knowing Jesus. Come to me and I will give you rest. Now, this is a life-changing gospel truth. The deepest rest is not found in a day. It's not found in a 24-hour day. Our deepest rest is found in a person. Since Jesus carries, this is so important, that Jesus carries the weight that we were never intended to carry. He's our Sabbath rest. Get this, he's our Sabbath rest from earning our salvation. He's our Sabbath rest from working to win God's approval. He's our Sabbath rest from striving for our own righteousness. Jesus himself, the person of Jesus, is our Sabbath rest from carrying the weight of our own guilt and condemnation. Jesus, ultimately, he's our Sabbath rest from the tormenting drive in the human heart to prove ourselves, to promote ourselves, to protect ourselves. Because Jesus finished our work of salvation. It is finished. We're free to rest in him, in all that he's accomplished. So, you might think the worst problem I'm facing that the Sabbath is going to accomplish is my physical exhaustion. That might be partly true, but the most critical, the most life-altering, the most transformational accomplishment of Sabbath rest is being in Jesus and letting our inner... Imagine taking time off once every week, 24 hours, and all the while wondering, am I doing enough to win God's approval? Have I done enough to earn my own salvation? Have I performed well enough to make sure that my love tank that God has for me is filled? That's not rest. Physically, I'm taking some downtime and some time off, but on the inner life, I'm all in turmoil and chaos. Like, I don't know if I have right standing with God. Come to me for right standing with the Father, salvation, formation, righteousness, freedom from guilt and condemnation. And by your faith, you are in union with Jesus, and you receive all that he is as the one who perfectly fulfilled the Sabbath. Let's pray together. Father, we're resting in you. We are quieting our minds. Church family, I encourage you while I'm praying to pray along with me. Your own prayers. Talk to the Father in heaven, your own words from your own heart. It might start with this. I know I need rest. Currently, I am pursuing rest separate from you, Jesus, beyond you, apart from you. And I want to find it in you. I want to rest in you. I am the one who's weary. I am the one who's carrying heavy burdens. I don't approach you because I'm afraid of being judged by you. I'm afraid that you see my sin, that you know my doubts, that you're put off by my fears. Today I recognize that all of that is put to rest through your grace. By my faith, I can be in you. If that's you this morning, that's your prayer. Rest in Jesus by faith. I'm praying with you, praying for you, praying together. And for the rest of us, I'm praying that you open your heart, that you would let God form you through the practice of Sabbath, that you would receive by faith the inner rest that comes only from Jesus. Father, we pray that you stir something new and deep in our hearts together. We look forward to that formation in and through the beautiful one, Jesus himself. Our rest from weariness and our rest from heavy burdens. And we're grateful for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? I'm going to invite you to join us in the front. We're going to have a prayer team that is here that has made themselves available to pray with you. And you can bring to them any need that you have for God to intervene. This time of prayer is to say, I am desperate and I'm dependent on the Father to intervene in whatever it is, relationship, career, identity, your sense of direction and purpose. We have people that are going to pray with you. And I'd love for you to put your mustard seed of faith together with their mustard seed of faith, and that you would lift it to the Father in heaven. And then we're going to receive communion together. Let's do that first, right? Some of you are already sitting there saying, he's got it out of order. I can see that judgment in your eyes. I can see it. Has he lost his mind? He needs rest. This guy needs to get a practice what you preach, dum-dum. You've got those elements. And I'll give you time to open them. And by the way, while you're opening them, I want you to notice those elements. You've got a symbol of the shed blood of Jesus. You've got the symbol of his broken body. And it's by his stripes that we are healed, that we are made whole. What does that mean? It's by the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus that means his is replacing ours. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Would you take that symbol of his broken body and receive it by faith? In the same way, he took the cup, this cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God the Father and his people. It's an agreement that's confirmed with my blood, not just with words, but with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's receive this element, and also by doing that, announce that he is coming again and that his death matters. I invite you to stand to your feet. Our prayer team is coming, and make your way forward to sing or remain where you are, and make your way forward to pray or remain where you are and sing. Pray, sing, sing, pray. We'll take some time together to respond to the word.